whoever's on the phone. We're
Hi, this is Blaine from NOAA.
Hey, Blaine from NOAA. We're just waiting a few more minutes for people to come in. I think you're the only person on the phone.
We got two more.
Wow.
9:30. Still early. Still way early.
Yep. Still way early. We got 2 minutes.
Charlie will be here in 6 minutes. Tom will be here in 20.
You guys mind if I leave Blaine off mute for a little bit?
He can now hear the conversation.
It's start time. Yeah.
That's fine.
We're done talking about him.
Yeah. What are you gonna draw for us, Blaine? Yeah.
Oh, you have to be here to find out. It's a secret.
Okay. Secret revealed. Well, hopefully you're not trying to get your immigration
No, I was kind of surprised by that. It looks like they need to use, Veterans Memorial Stadium over there for that.
I mean, it is literally all the way around the building.
Yeah, I was shocked. I'm thinking, what do people want at BPA so badly?
they're going into the auditorium to get their citizenship.
Oh, but
yeah, and the auditorium holds what? 100 people, maybe?
No, it's about 450. It'll hold a bunch, but their security only passes 2 people at a time.
No.
And you've got hundreds to come in. It's like,
I really thought that
this
was
is serious. Super stupid. And I start guards saying, can you have them come over here and help them? Oh, no, they got a handle. Bullshit. This line has doubled since we got to work. You know, it's all these people that are so excited about getting their citizenship today, you know.
Congratulations, yeah, now you're American, get in the line.
We don't care, we just have 2 people, have a nice day. Yeah.
So it sounds like we had someone else join us on the phone.
Doug Baus, Corps.
Hey, Doug.
Doug Baus, BAUS.
Yeah. Can you check and see if Doug's on your mailing list?
He will be now, I just got an email from him asking to be at it.
Yeah, I forwarded the thing this morning.
They're gonna miss the whole seminar.
No, they are. This is only a
why is it a mass event to get your citizenship? Isn't there something you can go on a daily basis and get that?
No, they just do it on certain intervals. You take your tests and stuff, then you go all get your raise your hand.
But they don't normally do it there, do they?
No.
So
no.
What was that? What's up with that decision?
It was available. Cheap.
Free.
Who knows, right? They knew they could harass them with the security.
You guys want to go ahead and get started?
Yeah,
it's 9:31. We have Doug Baus and Blaine Bellerud on the phone. Anybody else that we didn't hear?
Eric Van Dyke called in.
Hey, Eric.
Was there somebody else?
Eric Van Dyke.
Oh.
And another one.
Dave Swank, Fish and Wildlife Service.
Morning, Dave.
Morning.
Oh, there they are coming.
No, it's not 30.
No, they're all coming.
They're trying to be engineers and on time.
Somebody else just called in.
This is Ben Hausman from Bonneville.
Morning, Ben.
Ben,
morning.
Is your phone working?
My phone?
Yeah, I keep getting this fast busy signal when I call you up there.
No, if you're calling our old phones, because we just switched to VoIP phones.
Okay.
So I'm still on my old phone. I can call out, but I don't think any of our incoming calls work on our old phones now.
Do you have a new phone number?
I do have a new phone number.
Are you going to give it to us?
I've been kind of trying to keep it on the down low, but I guess I'll give it. It's the same as always, 541-374, but the last four have changed to 3877.
Okay, thanks.
Sure.
I just thought you didn't want to talk to me because all things were going so well out there.
Did all of Fitterwick hear that? Did everybody get that number down?
That's new number.
Hey, Ben, what's going on with the Whoosh camera? Do you know? Are they doing
it? Do what?
The Whoosh camera?
What about it?
What
it's
are
gone.
They doing?
It should be out.
Are they taking it out or is it out?
It's out. It's gone. They're done.
Okay.
Yeah, their permit ran out the end of the month, didn't it? January?
It did. We gave them till the end of this week just because we kind of impeded a little bit of their time because we were doing some asbestos removal in there, so we gave them another week, but yeah.
Okay.
It's officially gone. Pipes put back together.
One more
looks pretty good as far as I can tell.
All right, let's finish introductions real quick. So here in the room at Portland District, I'm Jake MacDonald.
John Rarisich.
Scott Fielding.
Ida Royer.
Trevor Connor Nau.
Aaron Kovalchuk, Core.
Scott Benton, BPA.
And on the phone, we have Eric Van Dyke, Doug Baus, Blaine Bellerud, Dave Swank, Ben Hausman, and somebody else just dialed in.
Aaron Cooper, FPC.
All right, Aaron, for your benefit, on the phone is Eric Van Dyke, Doug Baus, Blaine Bellerud, Dave Swank, Ben Hausman, and here in the room is Scott Benton, Aaron Kovalchuk, Trevor Condor, Ida Royer, Scott Fielding, and John Rarisich, and me, Jake MacDonald.
Thank you.
So we're gonna start with I sent out meeting minutes from our last meeting the other day, and I'm sure everybody's had a chance to review them, and we can go ahead and finalize those notes unless anybody objects.
Look at me.
I hear no objections. So then we'll go straight into updates on the very few projects we have going on right now. Bonneville pit detection, really short update from Ida here, I think.
No update.
No update.
We're awaiting funding, so we have not started the DDR.
So just to re-clarify, the preferred alternative was to wire up all the available gates at B1. Sluiceway gates.
Yeah.
So I guess the only thing I want to discuss on that is, what do you guys know about that NSIL and those two fixed gates, and what are we going to do about that issue, and when is that going to be repaired? Consider with providing the updates to that, or is that just strictly O&M and we can't say anything about it here?
I mean, the gate.
In this 1A and 1B.
Yeah.
Well, Ben would probably be the one to.
Do you know, right, Ben?
We will talk about it next week.
Okay.
Did you hear that, Ben?
Oh, are you talking about the south end gate?
Yeah.
I don't have any update on time frame.
Are you guys, is that a UFA request?
It is, yeah.
Okay. But the plan is to wire up those fixed gates, not put any kind of operating gate in there. Is there any way we can get any more kind of an update for FPOM, Ben? Or just ask again and see if they got anything?
Yeah, I mean, I can talk to the large cap guy out here and see what his latest update is and get that for you.
Okay, thanks.
And that'll be at FPOM?
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions on Bonneville Pit? Then we'll move on to...
Actually, I do.
Go ahead, Aaron.
So that is not funded for this year, is that correct?
Well, I don't know, but no, I don't think we're going to get funding this fiscal year.
It's CRFM funding.
Right,
yeah.
Okay.
We got to drag this out a little bit, come on. What's the situation with the barge, detector that Corey does?
That's a NOAA or a BPA project.
So it's a solely BPA project.
Yeah.
Do you know where that's going? If they're going to put it, replace that, or put it somewhere else this year?
I don't know.
I told you going to get deer.
I'm trying to stall for you.
I think the plan was to go back
redeploy,
out.
Yeah.
For the full season.
Do we have a location? Do we know?
We'd have to give you an update later.
Okay.
Let's see if I can find something out. But
Seems to work okay. It floated, didn't say.
Well, I'm just thinking, you know, they didn't have it in the I don't know if that was the best location. Well,
they didn't deploy it in the right time. They didn't put it in the best location.
Right.
They just wanted to make sure it would go up and down and not sink.
But you know how we were thinking.
Hey, guys. This is Gordy.
Oh, hey.
Good. There you are.
What are you thinking?
So the plan is to reinstall it at the same location, but during the fish out migration this year. So, you know, we, because of the shutdown last year, we weren't able to get the contract in place in time. But the majority of the effort this last year was on finalizing the changes to make it completely autonomous. And all of the testing that we conducted through.
You are really quiet.
You just zoned out a little bit. You still there, Gordy?
Sorry, can you guys hear me better now?
Yeah. So I was wondering on that location, did you select that because it's, you know, you're expected to intercept the maximum number of smolts there with adequate mixing from the bypass, or was that more of a, you know, trial just to kind of get out of the debris a little bit? Because I would think that...
It was primarily selected because of the amount of mixing that would take place, and just looking at the flow lines, they would be directed into that area fairly well. But because of the government shutdown and contracting issues that arose as a result, we weren't able to get it out there until the end of June. So the primary focus on the effort, though, to continue to get it there, even at that late date, was to make sure that the autonomous operation of the system was feasible. And West Fork definitely proved that. There was no need for any trips out during the fish season to, or during the operation of the barge to clear debris by hand. It was all maintained by the system itself and shedding the debris. So we're really excited about that part. Plus, we did have some higher flows than what we saw in the lower site that we had the prior year. And so the changes to the anchoring system showed that they were successful. And so, you know, ideally we'd like to nose that up even further into the tail race if possible. And so we're working through permitting and everything to do that this year. You know, at the same time, you know, we were looking at other locations that might provide a benefit. And so we're open to suggestions if anybody else has any thoughts on that.
Yeah, I was just looking at it on Google Earth this morning, and I was wondering if you could, you know, along Ides Island there, if you could, you know, come east a little more than you had last year, should try to get that concentrated foul wag, you know, where the smolts come through there a little bit more, but not get so close to the bypass outfall that you can't say that you've had adequate mixing, because that could really, you know, do a doozy on the mark recapture estimate that they do. So you'd have to have a reasonable assumption of mixing through all those routes, but at the point where you would feel that you'd intercept the majority or the maximum number of smolts without dealing with too high a velocity or a debris concern that you might have. But just keep those caveats in mind.
Yeah, and there's a lot of variables with selecting that site in addition to just the permitting alone. And I think we ran into a snag last year where we were trying to be a little bit more on the outside of Ives, and we couldn't find a location that could be agreed upon with a permit for that time frame. So we have some time right now to try and set up. We'd like to get at least 5 different sites accepted, and then we can be able to select the best one for fish detection.
Okay, sounds like you're on it. You understand what we're looking for, so
Yep, absolutely.
Okay.
And then in terms of the ice and crash sluice idea, while there isn't any funding from the Corps this year to pursue that, we will, since we are wrapping up our efforts up at Lower Granite, the PTAG R&D project for BPA will be looking at prototypes and how we can put something together to at least start the initial testing to have that presented so that folks can see what our ideas are.
Gordy, while you're on, could you give us a quick update on Lower Granite? I heard there was potentially some issues.
We had and I know that Gabriel and PSMFC have worked through what the issue is. It sounds like a cable may have been damaged, and so we'll have to replace that. But we built that in so that that could be done. But other than that, the system is operating beyond what we kind of anticipated in terms of detecting full telegram tags. We had the option of going to a half telegram tag that would transmit the signal every 16 milliseconds as opposed to 32 milliseconds. And we're detecting live fish that pass through the system during the short still periods that we had last week. I think we've detected 7 steelhead to date. So, and a couple of them were multiple times on separate antennas. And so we were able to generate a speed of passage for those fish. And it was pushing about 79 feet per second. And so that's right in that upper range that we were told might be the case. Of course, they were spilling a bit more water than what we would see during the spill season, I think the fire. So that might account for a little bit faster speed, but that too, with the reshaping of the OG, we kind of anticipated that it would look a little bit more like Ice Harbor. It's actually quite a bit more white water than what we anticipated, and so we released some sticks through with pit tags in them, and by the time they got to the antennas, they were riding up in the mist, and so we had to weight the sticks down, and once we did that, we were detecting about somewhere around 40% of them. Might be a little bit higher than that, but that's a stick going through that was 13 inches long that could be turned in different orientations, and so probably not very representative of fish, but in any case, we were getting multiple detections on full telegram tags on those as well. So
when will we know that we can start using it?
As far as I know, it's operational and ready to go. We did an 8-hour spill test and then a 6-hour spill test, and the Walla Walla District and North Bank went out and did an inspection of the spill bay, and concrete and all the lids look perfect. There was no movement, so it's ready to go as soon as the spill season starts. We'll just get that antenna swapped out here, that cable swapped out, and so I'm not sure what the timetable is for that, but we have better part of 2 months to get that done.
Well, if you have it ready before then, there's a chance there could be some involuntary spill on some hours when there isn't enough load, if the flows keep growing.
Okay.
So once you think you're ready,
yeah, I'm sure
that it's good to go.
I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure Jack is letting those guys know. I wasn't in on the meeting that they had the other day because I had some other meetings to attend. But as soon as I think the PTAG steering committee meeting is going on, so as soon as that's over, I'll be able to discuss with Gabe.
Okay.
About that, but
once it's clear,
as far as
we'll move it on the
you know, it, to change the cable out, it's just going to take a man basket, go out and pop the lid for that antenna and disconnect the cable and then pull it out and pull a new one in. So I wouldn't anticipate more than a day or two for that process.
Are they going to epoxy back over the bolts?
Yeah, yeah, it'll be the same. Yeah, it'll look exactly as it is now. So.
And this time, if you remind me, after the spill season, are we going to do a post inspection of the spill to see how a year of spill did on it? I couldn't remember seeing that.
I'm sure they will.
I'm not sure of anything anymore with the way funds are right now. I mean. I keep winning the beer on all my bets about what you guys aren't going to do, so... I wouldn't... If you could check into that, I mean, maybe Scott would talk to Jack, double-check on that, because that would be a good thing to do post-season.
So why did that happen, Gordy? Why? How come the antenna cable got moisture in it? Or
was it moisture damage?
Because I think during the installation of pulling and then, that cable through... the conduit, we're thinking that the sleeve of the cable got caught on something. When we were doing testing here, we saw that happen once, and so and when we saw it happen here, we used an instrument they call it a Megger, and they can check the output of that cable and see if it's losing energy as it that message is sent down it. And so that's what they saw when they tested it out at Lower Granite the other day, and are fairly positive that that's the issue. They checked everything else, you know, and up until when that came to light, because PSMFC's been monitoring the system since the spill test, and when spill was shut off, they still had it on and monitoring, and that's how they caught it when all of a sudden noise went through the roof on that one antenna system. So
Gordy, is this system like Bonneville 2 where you can just turn it on and off and not have to have anyone there?
Yeah, they're able to monitor from their Kennewick office and shut it on or shut it off and turn it back on.
Okay, good.
Yep.
Want to bring it back to Portland District and talk about Bonneville Second Powerhouse FPE?
Walwall's actually doing something.
Something else with no funding.
We have Jim Adams and John here to give us an update on B2FGE.
Well, we were putting together the contracting package, and we had it all ready to solicit, and we were told to check in with management before we sent out the solicitation because of concerns on funding shortfalls in the CRFM program and other projects, and we were going to push the button to solicit it, and we got told no. So, given that we didn't have any spare time, we pretty much had to put it on hold. So what we're doing now is we have a package ready. Our reviews and everything are valid for 6 months. So if we can obtain funding sometime before the end of June, then we can issue the solicitation for the construction contract. If we have sufficient money, we'll also send out our request for proposal for the AE contract and put in the testing equipment to see how well it performs, you know, pre and post. If we don't have enough money for that, then we'll hold off on the AE contract until next fiscal year, October, and then we can solicit it then. Construction. If we are able to award a contract or solicit it in June, we'd probably award it sometime mid-August. And that would give the contractor plenty of time to complete their pre-construction submittals, get mobilized, and then do the work in the in-water work window January through February. And have construction completed and ready for testing in the spring runoff.
Is he going for one or two?
Pardon?
Install one or two.
Well, we're going to have a contract that has one mandatory, 15, and then we'll have one as an option. Okay. And we are going to write it in the contract that sometime in August of 21, we will let them know whether we plan on exercising the option. So they'll bid it at the time that we are awarding the initial contract.
Would it be cheaper to just ask for two right away? Not mobile and remote for a second one, because you got eight to go.
We got to test it first, don't we?
That's kind of what we're thinking. We don't want to spend a whole lot of money on a second one until we're sure that what we're doing is the right plan.
Right. But I think the second one will cost as much as the first one. If you buy two at once, it might almost be the same price.
Well, yeah, we're adding a mobilization and a demobilization. But we're taking advantage of the experience and expertise of having done one already to lower the price of the second one. So it's pretty much a mobile demo cost increase, but there's not a whole lot of mobilization and demobilization that needs to occur. I don't think that the cost for that is very significant.
Less than half million.
Probably less than that, but I don't know. It depends on what they bid it.
Sure, but if possible, I'd love you to consider putting two in. Take a little risk.
Well, you better have a big sale for them, because I don't think they're going to have a chance of. I'll bet you another beer you're not going to get any more money. But you're not going to.
No, we're going to have.
George, you want to go double or nothing, John?
No, hell no.
See, that tells me all you know right
keep,
there.
Keep in mind that, you know, we're going to award this contract with a mandatory and an optional. And then when we actually award it, depending on how much funding we have, we can award both of them and then ask them to do them both at the same time. Mod the contract after award to do them both at the same time. So we have flexibility to change that decision as we are awarding. Or we can award the second one anytime after the main one is awarded. So
love to see this get underway.
Yes.
What you want to do is get them before you retire? Come on.
Which time? We've had them in already, had them out.
We understand the region's frustration with this. It's kind of out of our hands.
Right.
So anyway, that's our strategy.
It is what it is. Any more questions on that one?
I'm assuming Ian will have an idea of how much money you need to get.
Well, next year.
Then we'll talk about SCT.
Yeah. Sorry.
I'm wondering if there's anything else that could be cut.
Do you have another one?
CRSO? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, no. They're not going to cut that.
Well, cut the one thing that's the worst on the list, the most useless piece of pile of poop they've ever
produced. Well, I don't know. Litigants might not ask for that again.
Any more questions?
Nope. Thank you.
You're safe on B2FG.
Okay. We'll keep you guys informed.
Thanks, Jim.
But Ian is not safe.
No.
So, John Day Turbine Rehab. John?
So we've been in the scoping phase for phase one, and I don't know if anybody's had a chance to review the read-ahead we sent out, but we've got some milestones included here. If you scroll up, you can see the next. We've got the short-term schedule for phase one, and then the overall schedule, including contract award.
First installation 2029? Excellent. I'll almost be retired.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, these things take long to plan, long time to plan.
By the way, you might want to update your CRSO. Your CRSO says you're starting in 2025.
Yeah.
So, only 4 years off. I don't know. Might want to keep your internal documents consistent, but hey, that's all right.
It'll be handled at another.
But anyway,
is this the
more
updated?
Firm schedule? Because it does impact some stuff. They're guessing, like you said, 2025.
Do you see this? Like, I mean, the question is, do you see this as being the more realistic schedule?
Yeah, you know, our project manager was supposed to be here, but
he ran away.
He's not yet.
We won't be able to do it faster than that.
That's the point. I'm saying this
is what we think. But
this is as fast as I thought you could do it. Yeah. And if anything, if we've learned anything from Ice Harbor, it's probably going to slip because it always does.
Yeah, and that, you know, that 2024, that's an award, so we will have awarded the contract. We'll try to award the contract.
Right.
Right.
And then it'll be another 5-6 years before we actually go on site.
Yeah. Right.
That's what makes sense to
So what's CRSO saying? That
2025.
Install.
Start 2025.
And how'd they come up with that?
Last time I checked, this is your bloody document. We've told them this, and you guys seem to ignore right. everyone's comments that might know anything about it.
Well,
so,
we'll look into
keep
that.
Going forward. It's awesome. And I think you said you could end in 10 years. It was awesome. I was impressed by that, too. 2 a year. You guys are rocking it, man. I love your documents that are totally not in this real world. It's awesome.
Thank you, Tom.
No problem. Yeah. You know, I use the recent mythologies and fantasy to my kids at night, so I found the CRSO was perfect for that. It's better than Lord of the Rings. Better drama.
Anything else on John Day Turbine Rehab?
Well, we had some items here, you know, we're preparing a DDR, you know, and then the DDR will, you know, figure out the turbine runner type and operating range, powerhouse configuration, the replacement sequence, and include all the fish passage operations and certainties and hydraulic and fish passage considerations and runner design. And then we've got plans and specs, development for award, you know, for the collaborative design process.
Are you still anticipating propeller and Kaplan?
Yes, a mix of, yeah, propeller and Kaplan
I'm
units.
Trying to work on what the mixture is of transmission would accept.
We would like to know that.
Yeah. That's something we have to work through.
Propeller, that's like Ice Harbor fixed blade.
Yeah.
Right. I'm trying to get away from the term fixed blade because fixed means broken in our current vernacular. That's the ones that are, you know, welded or.
It's a fixed cap. Okay.
Right.
So you want propeller as your new.
Technically that is what the name
yeah,
of the
I know,
thing is.
But
I know. So we need to figure out what we're talking about because if you say, hey, it's fixed, no, it's broken. No, it's like who's on first.
Well, we should call those right. hydraulically locked or locked, well, mechanically locked.
Propeller's fine. Propeller, as long as everybody knows what the terminology
yeah.
means.
Yeah. So propeller means one position. Yeah.
Propeller means it's not
you,
capital.
The one position turbine.
Yeah.
Dude, we can make a cool acronym out of
the one position turbine. Anyway, so we're engaging transmission to try to figure out how they can model it and figure out what they need for reactive support and the other things they need out of turbines other than just megawatts. So more to come on that, but it takes time. Just like any turbine there.
And then are you going to pull together like they did for Ice Harbor turbine design team? Because I know Noah had reps on that.
Yes, Blaine actually calls into our PDT meetings and participates.
I would love to.
And it's been reviewed.
There's no way I'll have time for this.
Right.
You got time, though.
But yes, it will be the collaborative design process, and it'll be similar to what they're doing at McNary. So, you know, in preparation for all of this, you know, there's model work that needs to be done, and we had talked about at previous meetings the John Day 1 to 25 model, and that's being rehabbed this FY, and then baseline runs in FY21, and then the collaborative design process where we'll be utilizing that model will be in phase two. So we also have tail race modeling. Probably remember from previous updates, we want to try to maintain good egress conditions, and especially what we found with the preliminary work through CFD modeling with
you just said that,
isn't that funny?
Yeah
we used to put a lot of weight
on
that. Anyway, the concerns with adult approach on the south end and positioning fixed blade units, especially if they're targeted at the higher end, there might be some concerns there, or fixed blade units in the middle of the powerhouse and the need for supporting flow along the south shore. So we want to make sure we don't make things worse. So there'll be some CFD and some model work.
Unit prioritization of where you want to put your units and make sure it all matches up.
Right.
And just make sure you got the right people in the room to make those decisions.
Yeah.
But you're going to try to, they're still working on the John Day model in Vicksburg to try to marry it up with the real world.
There's a validation. Sherry Dunlop, you haven't been to a fitter wig yet. You started here with the Corps in October, correct?
And she's still here?
Yes.
She's a pro right
I know. We're very fortunate to have Sherry on our team, and she's going to be, heading up all the model work for us, the hydraulic.
So she's the new Sean asking?
But if you talk, can you please come to the table? Because people cannot hear you on the phone.
No, but when Sean started, that's where he was Lori's model, physical model guy.
Mm-hmm. So yes, I'm working with Lori on this.
Excellent.
And right now we're working to incorporate, there were a few components that were not installed originally for 145 physical tail race models. So we're working with ERDC to get them funding to add in things like the juvenile bypass outflow and flow from the fish ladders so that we can have a workable model moving forward. It's partially there, it just isn't all connected up because it wasn't needed for the earlier work. So they need to go in and connect it up, and then we're going to validate to some...
Which way the flow goes.
It's there. The physical pieces are there, they're just not
I chuckle at we spent years stressing about the JBS and where it goes and stuff, and then we do the 145, that we don't need it.
Excellent. It's not that it's not needed. It was not needed for the earlier modeling, and so we're getting it brought up to snub for what we're doing now, and
have
we'll
you had
do
a
some
chance
validation.
To go down there yet?
I have not. It should happen in the next
August.
Ask them which part.
August.
Yeah. In August. You got to go to Rusty's. You got to go to the top.
Okay. Well, here I'm
There's only about three, so it's a short list. So you'll be safe.
It's really fun. You'll love it.
Yeah.
Because Aaron goes when it's good.
Yeah.
Aaron's fun.
You'll love it. Yeah. Anyway, we're hoping to get that funding lined up soon so that we can kick off the revalidation.
Is this
of the
CRFM
model.
Funding too? So
no, for this project, this is BPA.
No. For the modeling. To get the model recalibrated, is that going to be CRFM funded or is that coming out of the German program?
I don't think it's CRFM funding
because
because Ian hadn't heard anything about it this morning when Charlie sent out an email about it.
Yeah,
because
the model was built with CRFM dollars.
Yes, that was my concern.
And the funding, the question that came up, funding for the rebuild of the 125 observational modeling, that is already in place.
Okay.
So their verdict is good to go on that.
Okay.
The big question I still have on this, a little bit of uncertainty is what you, and as we're planning and writing this next biop and how this is all going to come together, is screens. And if you guys intend to use screens, and if you don't, I mean, how's
the
decision going to work
for
screens?
We outlined this in the phase 1A. Blaine's been involved in these conversations, and what we're doing is we're going to design, you know, for optimum configuration and hydraulic conditions without screens installed. But when we operate, screens will be installed, and it's going to require post-construction evaluations to make that decision on which way we go with screens, whether we get the uplift and survival that justifies, you know, partial removal of powerhouse or full removal. We don't know. But you guys might screw everything up with your eddy and the tail race that you created down there. So,
well, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you wanted to pull the screens and you put something in the skeleton bays, like a surface passage structure, that might work out. But just to pull them,
there's no chance.
I don't have any confidence.
And
that
the
you're
question is,
get there.
There's a lot of stuff that will be considered, you know, moving
you
forward.
To, but putting these new turbines.
See, I told you.
So the new thing by these new turbines are going to probably run the difference is you're going to redo them. They're going to have different hydraulics a little bit. That means you're going to have to rebalance your DDSs.
Yeah, but the differential between the, you know, the loss of efficiency for turbines which were designed without screens and running screens them is just a couple of percent. It's
no,
not
I'm
that
not,
big.
I'm not worried.
And
about
none of the turbines that are in the river now are designed for operation with screens. So
yeah, but the problem is by having different flows coming from these new turbines, that's going to screw up your gate well conditions.
The,
so you're going to have to rebalance your DBS potentially.
One of our parameters for design was to make sure that the upper end of the flow range for the new design will not exceed what our current upper end range is now.
But you're still going to have to verify that you haven't changed gate well conditions and might have to rebalance DBS. So that's going to have to be, make sure that's in there because you guys have
if we don't exceed the flow range, we don't expect we would need to rebalance DBSs.
I think you'd want to verify that because do you want to have a B2FGE fiasco all over again?
No. Nope.
Just checking. I'm just saying.
Nope.
Confirm
but your
and verify.
Upper 1% is really close to gen limit, so it's not, there is no more.
Right.
Well, unless you're designing your turbines to have more capacity.
I mean, has that decision been made?
What's
that? That the capacity is going to be exactly the same, or
we will not exceed. Yes, that decision has been made. We're not going to exceed the current upper end operating range.
But you have to put in new generators. You have gen limit there, and you're at kind of as much as they can. Unlike the canary, These don't have a lot of extra
capacities out there. I'm just saying your operating range, if you change the operating range of these turbines and make it wider or something different.
Good.
We got 6 years of who knows.
It's going to be in the same
which is part 1%. Of the turbine smile kind of sucks ass.
So are you planning on funding some testing of this concept of did our survival improve to the degree that we can take screens out in the next 15 years? I mean, should that be your proposed action?
Those are conversations that we need to have, but
that's why I'm having it.
We put that recommendation in the phase 1A report.
Well, make sure that goes up the list, because also in the CRSO it says there's not going to be a CRFM in 10 years. So if you're just starting to install these things in 10 years, and then you have no CRFM to provide funding for a study, I will be curious to see how you're going to fund a study.
That's a good point.
You might want to make sure you have money at some point set aside to do something.
As far as I know, it hasn't been proposed, and we do have a final proposed action. I haven't seen anything about testing.
Evaluating turbines.
John Day to see if we can pull screens. So the assumption is, I guess, right now that we're going to leave screens in. And those are due for replacement when they're getting pretty...
They're getting old.
Pretty rusty.
Screens?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty barnacly.
Yeah, so within 10 years, you're going to have to make a tough decision. Do you want to replace screens or are you going to pull screens? And you're going to have to make that decision with really no evaluation, which is awesome.
Or move to skeleton bays.
Hey,
I would support it too.
I like your skeletons.
Is that part of the CRSO alternative?
Well, I think they kind of looked at it and, $60 million look at it and didn't really get anything out of it. But we've looked at it before. What did we find with it before? It's possible, it's feasible, it's expensive.
It was about $76 million to do two, and that was 8 years ago.
Yeah, but that. Looking at a full million. Screen replacement, you're probably on a similar level.
Yeah, and we spent $60 million on a CRSO that we're going to get, 100,000 pages of piece of crap? Yeah. I would have rather spent $60 million on a skeleton bay. I think the whole basin would have supported that trade. Regardless, there are some options out there. I'm hoping you're looking at them. Hope springs are general.
We'll contact the necessary folks. And
good luck with that.
Continue discussing.
Hey, Trevor, this is Leah on the phone.
Hey.
And others, hi. Sorry, I joined late. The BA does have a section that talks about potential removal of fish screens at Ice Harbor, McNary, and John Day. But the actual language around John Day is basically pretty loose depending on design phase and likelihood of completion and testing within the life of this optimistically 15-year biop. So
that's a good point. I do remember seeing that. I just don't remember seeing anything specific in terms of RM&E. In fact, I've been told that we're not going to spend money on that type of research. So it's hard to tell when you're told two things,
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, we'll take this back to the team and work it internally and come up with some more information.
Is that it for John Day turbines?
Well, Steve has anything.
Sounds like we're having a great discussion.
Best time ever.
Yeah, so Steve is the PM, Steve's site.
Okay.
So, Ben, are you still on the line?
I am still on the line.
So, Ben's on the line. He wants to talk to us about Bradford Island entrance gates.
Yeah, I just kind of wanted to bring up, we've thought about it and talked about it kind of informally for a little while, but the condition of our two kind of tailwater-dependent gates next to the main entrance on B Branch, so just south of B Branch, they have two that open based on tailwater, and they're in pretty significant need of repair. And just based on the cost, it made us kind of decide to take this to folks to see if they'd be supportive of going the route instead of doing that, going the route that we did at Cascades Island and pursuing a variable width Weir and basically closing those two, which is what we did at Cascades Island. So, you know, they evaluated that after it was finished to make sure there wasn't negative salmonid impact, and I think it's got probably marginal benefit for lamprey. I think it does ease their entrance there, but I don't know that it necessarily equates to higher passage numbers, only because there are other choke points for lamprey within there. But that's kind of the concept, that we would do something. They're, you know, mirror opposites, obviously, Bee Branch and Cascades Island, so this thought was kind of like, if folks are okay with it at Cascades Island and it benefits lamprey, why not do that at Bee Branch? So I just sort of wanted to broach that topic and see what people thought.
I'll give you the same comments I did at FPOM. I think it's a good idea. The question is, there, when we did this at John Day, we added some bollards and a few other enhancements. And the question is there a way we could add those to there here as well when we're doing the work, and see where we find the funds, and maybe Lamprey will have some dollars when you're doing this. I, once again, hope springs eternal. But yeah, no, I think it's a great idea.
If we're doing nighttime ops for Lamprey, do we need the bollards?
Yeah, because he's still passing during the day. Why would you want to make it easier for him all the time?
Is there evidence that the bollards work?
Right now, John Day passage, that entrance is the best. It has the best, fastest passage entrance at John Day. Is it the variable weight gate? Is it the bollards? Is it the other things? They can't parse that out.
Do you see evidence of, I have pictures of, you can see the lamprey marks on the radius part of the John Day gates.
Yeah.
The bollards, they both have bollards. The difference is the John Day bollards are paddles instead of cylindrical bollards. So they're a little bit more effective at slowing down the flow near the bottom for the lamprey.
Yep.
The one thing that kind of frustrated me about the Cascade Island is, and that involves more money, and that's, you know, we could get everything behind the bulkhead upstream. Upstream of the bulkhead. So we could have gotten some improvement had we done a little bit of work out on the other side, which would have required diving work. But some kind of rounding to allow them to have a better chance of them getting attached to the floor coming in.
We're sort of all that. Long and short is, I think, Ben, you wouldn't even talk about doing this for, there's some period of time, I'm guessing you're not jumping on this like in 6 months, I'm guessing.
No, I mean, I haven't jumped on it in a rigorous fashion, more that I just wanted to make sure people were on board before we started heading down that road. And I think, you know, the other one we did, everything kind of in conjunction with each other. So we did the variable width, we did the bollards, we did the LPS there. So they don't need to be coupled together as far as, you know, the order they go in. But I think ultimately doing them all would be ideal. I just thought, since we're at this kind of decision point with how much money we're going to dump into those others, I thought if we could at least start with that variable width weir.
So what is the cost difference here for just replacing kine versus the variable width? Are we looking at pretty similar numbers?
I don't know. I'd have to look at that, Trevor, because like I said, I think we lumped some of that stuff in together with the Cascades Island one, so I'd have to see if we have the width, the variable width weir broken out cost-wise. I'm sure we could get an estimate.
I think there's one contract.
We put all stuff under one.
Oh, under one contract.
Yeah.
And then, so if we had the bollards in there, that would probably come out of the lamprey portion of the funding.
And that's what I was going to suggest, is also the core reach out to lamprey task group and let them prioritize what they think makes the most sense.
Really want to put all your eggs in that basket, but you're not getting many eggs, and the bollards may not give you a huge...
I'm going to grab eggs wherever I can right now.
Right.
So I'm just saying, but the lamprey task group is the smart people. Let them say, yeah, we need bollards, or no, I don't think bollards are a big thing. We'd rather have this, and let them say it. I'm just saying, like, if you're putting this in, and there's going to be lamprey benefit, there's opportunities. And
right.
See,
my sense is with Ida, if you're already doing reduced flow at night, you might take that bollard money, which could be substantial. It could be a quarter million.
Much.
You know,
no,
the weight.
We're
CRFM,
not.
Dude, I can
you
see
and
it
I could
easily
do it for
being a quarter of a million. The fancy paint job could be a quarter of a million, and you know, you could burn a lot of money on those.
I know. That's why I'm saying with the lamprey task group. If they say, yeah, this is a good use of our money, we think dollars make sense, boom. I'm just saying, just give yourself the space to talk to them and let them prioritize what makes sense. And if we're supposed to have money next year. We are promised in the Accords that the Corps would get us money. We haven't seen it for 3 years. I feel like the alimony check from the divorcee, it's in the mail. But hey, there we go. So theoretically, there's supposed to be money next year. So,
but in terms of maintaining Salmonid, you know, our entrance criteria, the variable width, we're great, right? Yep. Is that my, that's my understanding?
We meet the entrance head criteria. Now, I think Ben has told me that it requires more water than what it did, you know, the current configuration.
At times it requires more water. Yeah. It
requires more diffuser water.
Yeah, we changed that a little bit once that went in. It was a little bit of a little trial and error just to figure out, you know, because we have it dialed in right now, or we did, for which diffusers were open and what tailwater. So it did change slightly over there, but that's been, you know, that's been resolved.
It's been worked out, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's all gravity flow right here, right?
Yep.
Yes, it's all gravity.
Hey, Ben, is this where the gate bangs?
Is this where what?
Are these the banging gates?
No, that's a different, that's kind of a defunct entrance altogether. That one's actually on the north side of that wing wall, kind of.
Okay.
I don't know if that makes sense. So it would get you in from the north side. These are both just to the side, facing in the same orientation as the main entrance gate. The one that bangs is kind of around the bend, and it's just bulkheaded off, and it's permanently closed. So no opposition per se.
I'm fine with it as long as it just doesn't suck a large portion of our CRFM funding or something like that.
Oh, this is coming out by one now.
If it's coming out.
Yeah, and I'll get more detail on that. I just wanted to see if people felt that it was worth pursuing or trying to.
Yeah, it's going
to
be cheaper than telescopes.
Is there any research that would need to go into this? Is the Bradford Island entrance hydraulically identical to the Cascade Island entrance?
Yeah, they're mirror images of each other. So. Yeah. That part, you know, if we just put in the same structure, you know, we'd get the same results.
Okay.
Yeah, and if you put enhancements there, it'd be better.
Then
the question is, did you want to evaluate how much better? And that's the
more expensive thing.
Yeah, usually is.
Yeah.
The one question I have, because I'm not as familiar with John Day, are there bollards that lead fish to something? Like ours at Cascades Island are, you know, configured in such a way that they provide a path kind of over to the LPS.
They do over to one LPS, yeah.
Okay. So ultimately, if we're doing that, we're talking about directing them towards a potential future LPS kind of concept.
That's what the bollards do, yeah.
Okay.
In both projects.
Hey, Ben, this is Eric Van Dyke on the line. I wasn't around 2008 on this discussion, so this document that's being shown, is that available for folks to look at, or
yeah,
help
we'll make this document available on the Fitterwig website.
Good, then I don't have to spend hours looking at it.
Yep. anything I show up on the screen here will be available to you. I have to
attach the notes, maybe.
What's that?
Just attach to the notes.
There you go. Yep.
Yeah, just helping to put all this into context would be useful. So thanks.
Yeah, I think that one that I sent to Jake it's the 2010, and so it's got it's kind of the culmination of 2 years of study, and they contrast it to, you know, study numbers, passage times, etc. from previous studies. So it's pretty good, and it gives you some pretty good data. That's all I got.
All right. That's all Ben has. Tom just whispered that he has a couple of things he wants to talk about.
So we're going to do a hydraulic cleaning of the spillway, I believe. We're going to open some big spillways. We're going to clean up some rock. Excellente. Two questions. One, after the divers came in last year cleaning the spillway, do we have a post-evaluation of how clean the spillway was?
Yes. I think I already gave you that report, but...
If you can send that to me again, I just want to double check. Because I want to make sure that all these rocks were not there, or if they, because I mean, the question is, no day we're going to get every rock, and if these things are spread across the whole spillway, and then by spilling a little bit, you concentrated them, and that didn't mean that you came in. I want to make sure that these are new rocks. And then two, after we do this awesome hydraulic brushing, are we doing an evaluation to see if we move the rocks off?
I think we are.
Okay, so we'll talk about that on Thursday, okay?
Oh,
okay.
Really?
Yes. Oh, thanks.
We will talk about that on Thursday.
What?
Okay. Yeah, we'll get there. Don't worry.
Oh, well, we won't approve that change form. There's no point.
We already did the cleaning.
Did you do the survey?
We'll get to
they just flushed this week. You're just talking about Bonneville.
Why can't we talk about it now?
We just did it Tuesday.
Yeah.
We're trying to line up.
Because maybe by Thursday we'll have it ready, okay?
Yeah. They're having a bake sale.
Yes, we are.
All right. Because, long story, I just want to make sure, because there's a lot of concern about the 150.
I'm talking about the change form for upper 1%, by the way.
Oh, that changed.
Because that's the reason I was pushing for it, was so that we could understand if we are pulling rocks at 150.
Exactly.
And we aren't going to know if we don't do the survey.
Exactly.
We're trying. No more Thursday.
Yes.
We'll have the great reveal at FPOM.
Yes.
Man, you're just like Trump. You're going to make all kinds of mystery. Like mystery.
It's going
to
be
who's
spectacular.
Who's going to be here today? Yeah. Who's coming to the presidential speech, man? It's going to be excellent. Okay. Awesome.
You want a medal?
Oh, please.
I feel like you have a mole.
Mole?
At the core.
Who, Scott?
No, Tom.
Oh.
Actually, you can guess who it is, and it's not my wife, so there you go. Nice try.
Do you have something else?
I'll talk to Trevor about this one. We don't need to bring it up now.
Did you want to ask Ben? You saw his email about the trap.
Okay, I guess we will ask him now. So, Ben, you guys are comfortable. So, Trevor, are you... So, we're putting the Cascade Island lamprey trap in this coming week, next week. And it's going to be in above the picket of leads, you know, where the Cascade Island old exit is that we use infrequently at best.
Yeah.
So, they're going to put in there. It's not going to be an AWS channel where I thought it was going to be. It's going to be more in the adult fishway ladder. And so if we do operate it, there's going to be a small structure in there.
So you're putting it downstream of the leads?
So it's only going to be when we use the old Cascade Island that dumps right into the spillway that we only use when we basically have to take the UNT.
Oh, it's going to be in there?
Yeah.
We hardly ever use that.
Exactly. Oh. I just want to make sure you're comfortable with that. Because I thought they were going to put the AWS channel, so it was going to be no problems at all. Then they told me that. I'm going like, I hope someone checked with Trevor to make sure he's not going to have kittens on this one.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
I just want to make sure you're not having kittens. So,
okay.
No kittens? Excellent.
Yeah. Hey, Tom.
Yeah.
You're right. I mean, our initial plan was to put one up there because we've been barrel trapping fish that would get dead-ended up there. And then when we discussed it and kind of started looking at it more closely, the feedback we got from the tribes was they would like to see it closer to that lead. So that was kind of their preferred location, and decided that we would give that a shot.
I don't think their location's bad. I just wanted people to know that, oh, by the way, we put something in a fishway that we use on occasion, or if the UMT fails, we have to use this, that kind of stuff. As long as people are comfortable with that, then I'm totally down. I just want to make sure there's... I didn't want to have like Trevor like 2 weeks from ago. You put it where? Oh hell no! You take that sucker.
We can
out.
Always pull the trap if we have to use it too. Well, what scenario are we going to use that?
If the UNT fails, say you have something structurally fail, like a thing.
It's pretty low
UNT.
Probability.
Exactly. I just want.
Yeah, and if it's getting used, it's during the winter only.
Yeah.
And most it would be used every other year for 3 months, but that is, does not happen. That's assuming we don't take Cascade Island down.
You don't even trap in the winter, do you?
No. So it wouldn't be running regardless. You would just have a flume structure. It's 12 inches wide on the south wall, you know, so it's pretty small proportion of the fishway width.
So that's, I haven't seen any plans. I suggested, like, well, how would you make it so if you had it, it could be removable or something like that? You have, like, just hinge the part that's in the water to pull it out. I said, well, we're bolting it. Okay, that's not going to be an option.
Where are we at with the LPS trapping? Is that just kind of...
Right now, with this new Cascade Island structure in, there's a move to try to get the wetted wall to be a trap, and the likelihood of, with last year's lower return rate, and as long as this next year isn't like the worst year ever, we should probably be fine. But we do reserve the right, if things go totally kittywampus on us, like this Cascade Island is a total bust, we don't get any lamprey, and we're nowhere near our allocations, we might request that.
Well, what about the wetted wall idea?
They're trying to get Greg's, I think they're having a meeting. Ben, remind me, are Greg and Lori coming out today?
Greg and Lori are going to be here, minutes.
And they're going to try to see about, the thought is if they can maybe add some sort of flex pipe or something like that to that thing, get at least that to the dry, then they can do the rest on that. They need to get the structure from the wetted wall to the dry, and then they can take out a trap bar from there. Mm. So there is a hope that they can maybe get in this year. It's tight. We'll see. Mm-hmm. But that is at least one.
There's this company named Woosh that probably might be able to...
Shut it. Shut it. They've actually offered us to buy their structure there to keep it. So I just need to get my checkbook out.
It's not there anymore.
Right. Blasphemy.
Double the price.
No, that trap, the potential, we met out here with Greg and a couple folks last week or a week before, just to look at the feasibility of that. And I think it's pretty doable and relatively simple, but it's not like something we can throw together in a day. It's going to require a little fabrication, you know, to modify the transition of that thing to a flex hose or whatever we're going to do. I think we have a tank we can probably modify here, but you know, the same guy that would modify that's the guy working on our Cascades Island trap, so it's in line behind that for sure.
Yeah, and you have to keep them alive once they get in there.
Yeah, I mean, it's more than just throwing a tote there and letting them drop in. There's got to be something proper. So I think it's pretty realistic that it could be done though, and without a whole heck of a lot of money.
And we can work with our labyrinth trapping crew to make sure it gets checked by.
Yeah, we can finally get some good counts on that thing and see what it's really
doing. Right. Hey, Tom, I'm assuming that people are aware that, you know, like with other structures that have gone in, they're not necessarily a slam dunk right off the bat. I'm hoping people give it a little bit of patience before declaring it a failure or underperforming.
I won't even ask about the leopard flu.
Are you talking about the wetted wall or the flu?
No, you're talking about the...
I'm talking about both, really, if we're, like, the whole reserving the right to get back in the LPSs. But it just seems like, you know, these things, notoriously, that first year aren't a slam dunk, so I just want to make sure folks are giving it its
time. Forget that the tribes, their allocations for translocation is not something they're going to easily say, like, oh, yeah, we'll give that up. So there's a lot of discussion in between and that kind of stuff, so... We're hoping we won't need to even talk about it, but we reserve the right to talk about it.
From what I've seen in the wetted wall, it kind of is a slam dunk, though. That thing put a lot more lamprey through there than I expected.
Yeah, if Noah could not lose data, we could know exactly how many.
Yeah, but even the stuff they do have,
It looks like it was. We're talking hundreds.
Yeah.
If not, maybe closer to 1,000.
That little thing. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I know. For a little, and could lead up a location like that. So, mm-hmm. So who knows? So that covers my two.
Anybody else have anything they want to talk about? If not, then we'll call this one.
God, are they doing burgers already?
No, they don't open until 11.
Damn it! We got to talk for half an hour.
All right, thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Talk to you all later.
No, Tammy told me about